Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Hello, class. So, this is Bert Bertonis, and I am your guest instructor filling in for Vincent on this Monday. Vincent is busy with his new Natural Farms campground greeting guests right now. Kind of exciting. So, the first campers are arriving. And I will be your guest host for Hour 1 and Hour 2 today, Monday. First hour, we're going to talk about ham radio, and we're going to have guest Lou Cassidy with us to help instruct us on this exciting topic. And second hour, we're going to welcome Andy Gibbs. But first of all, right now, welcome, Lou.
Good morning, Bert.
Hey, so, Lou, I tell everybody that ham radio is like CB radio, but better. And am I right there, or can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Ham radio is like CB radio in the sense that you pick up the mic and you talk to somebody through the airwaves without any wires or cell phones or any of that kind of stuff, and you just talk to somebody directly. But the CB radio is on one band, and it's meant for short-distance communications, 15 miles generally. And ham radio is so much larger and better than CB radio. We have different frequencies that you can talk locally, handheld to handheld, over a distance of a couple miles. Base rigs, through a repeater, you can talk 60, 80 miles. And when you get into the HF bands, the high frequency or short wave bands, you can talk around the world, actually. And especially when the sunspots cycle is at a high, which we're coming on to right now. So this is a great time to get into ham radio.
Yeah, Lou, that sunspots is something we talk about often on my classes because basically, not only does it affect ham radio, sunspots are also related to plasma eruptions, and they affect, northern lights, but they also affect all kinds of electronics, and if severe enough, can actually cause damage. So that's something we've covered over the last couple of years. And as you mentioned, we're coming into, we're about a year or two away from a sunspot peak, which, because of the way it affects the ionosphere, allows a lot of the higher ham frequency bands to go further than they would in, let's say, normal ionospheric years.
Yes, on the higher HF bands, you can literally talk all the way around the world on 10 watts or 100 watts in a small antenna, when 10 meters 20 meters, the higher HF bands. Propagation is really great, especially during the daytime.
Now, Lou, we should tell class that that's sort of hit or miss. You may be able to go around the world, but you can't always predict where your signal is going to land. It might land in a country you weren't expecting, where people are speaking a language you weren't expecting.
Yeah, that's true. It's not reliable, but it's possible around the world. When the sunspot cycle, it's going to start peaking in next year, in 24. And it's going to be up there for about 3 years. So this is a great time for anybody who wants to get into ham radio. And ham radio is synonymous with amateur radio. So either way, ham radio, amateur radio, it's the same term, as we go through this talk today.
So, Lou, we're here to teach class, but I got to tell you a true story. I learned electronics, radio electronics, as an early child through the ARRL handbook. My uncle and dad were both engineers. My uncle was a radio engineer. I don't think he had a degree. He actually learned radio electronics in World War I in the Signal Corps and then spent the rest of his career working for different government agencies in radio electronics. So that manual, which I was just shown as a little kid, basically self-taught me how to build things and how radio worked. And I got to be honest with class, I skipped the first couple of chapters because that was sort of rules and regulations and background. And I went right to where you were building radios. And that manual is tremendous. And, Lou, that manual is currently in its 100th anniversary edition. It's the ARRL manual. It is great. And you can find it on wherever books are sold. But I haven't bought it yet, but I'm going to buy that 100-year anniversary edition.
I have one right here in front of me, and it says A on the back of it, or the front of it. It's a six-volume set. It's about 3 inches thick, and it says ARRL 100, and it's the 2023 edition of the ARRL handbook. And when you talk ham radio, amateur radio, you're talking ARRL. That's the American Radio Relay League, and they're kind of the mouthpiece of ham radio. They help us with legislation, keeping our frequencies clear, education, anything you want to do, antennas, radios, building. The handbook is just a wonderful reference.
So, Lou, my uncle told me a story that went, because he was a very early ham. In fact, Lou, he had a three-letter call sign, which they gave out, I guess, 100 years ago.
Wow.
And so he told me that, you know, after he got out of the war in World War I and he started playing with radio equipment as an amateur, he said he and other hams would be going really long distances using the high frequencies. And he said, back then, you know, back 100 or more years ago, the government, people in charge, thought those everybody pretty much thought those frequencies were useless over 2 megahertz, over 2 or 3 megahertz.
Right.
They called them short waves. And they said, you know, hams could do whatever they want. You know, we'll give you over 3 megahertz, do whatever you want. And they started talking to Europe, and eventually they took it away from them because they said, wow, we could use these for shortwave broadcasting stations and, you know, have broadcast our government news and propaganda, whatever, all around the world. So slowly but surely, they started taking the frequencies away from hams. We're left with now a bunch of bands that are in harmonic relationship to each other. So just for class, that makes, or at least it used to make design of some radio equipment easier. So you'd have 3.5 megahertz, 7 megahertz, 14 megahertz,
right,
21, 28. But then they still allowed VHF and UHF to do whatever you want. And of course, that soon disappeared. And I'm not sure, Lou, but is there some frequency now, maybe over, you know, whatever, 10 gigahertz or something, where hams can do anything with a given power level, or has that disappeared altogether?
No, we still have that way up there.
Yeah.
And you're right, anything above, much above the AM broadcast band was wasteland. And they're going, oh, give it to the hams. And the hams got in there and actually developed and learned of propagation and, like you were saying, talking across to Europe and doing things like that. And they became interested and started pulling all the frequencies back. And as time went on, they pulled it back to, you know, we got a few bands, you know, 20, 40, 80 meters, 160 meters, 10 meters, 12, 15, 17 are the warp bands. But those frequencies, they still allow the amateurs mostly primary use. Some of it were secondary. And you know, the like you were saying, the frequencies up high. Let's see, I got a band chart, an ICOM band chart in front of me, and the highest band that that we're allocated is the 1240 band. That's a 1.2 gigahertz band, and we have 1240 to 13 to 1.3 gigahertz, which is quite a wide range, and we're allowed most everything on that. And then there are frequencies, and I don't see them on this chart, but way up there where the government is, it's another wasteland, and they're going, oh, let the hams have them, and you know, so then they'll take them eventually.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't taken 1.2 away, because that's a good cellular phone frequency.
Yeah, actually, they took part of 900 at one time, and then the 1.2. But they're above that now. They're the Wi-Fis and the cell phones are, you know, up in that area or a little bit higher.
Yeah, well, 900's a great band. I've developed equipment for the 900 ISM band. Of course, that used to be the major band for GSM in Europe. A lot of things you can do at 900 megahertz. It's actually, I've grown to like it. It's also real easy to work with on the bench, whereas some of the, you know, when you get into the multi-gigahertz, you start getting really hard to use the soldering iron and lumped element capacitors. And
Yeah, the antennas are actually printed on the PC boards.
Yeah.
And when you were talking before about the harmonious bands that they've given us, that works for radios and radio equipment, but even better for antennas. If you know, you're at twice the frequency, it's, you know, it's the first harmonic, and antennas will work. You know, 20, yep. 40, 80, and 160 are the harmonious bands that, you know, you just jump on. And if you build the right kind of antenna and feed it in the right place, the right impedance, you know, you can pretty much use it for the other bands.
Yeah. Antennas are a fascinating subject, Lou. I think if you described your typical antenna for 14 megahertz, that's going to be completely different antenna than what you might use at 2 gigahertz. So it won't even look the same.
No. At 20 megahertz, of course, that's the 20 meter band is at 14 megahertz, and that, you know, the half wave length of the is actually 20 meters, 60 feet, roughly. You know, so you need a wire antenna about 60 feet for a 20 meter band.
Yeah, for class, the smallest resonant antenna that you typically would use would be what we call a half wavelength, and in the short waves, that's typically done with just a piece of wire. Now, you can put loading coils on it to tune a shorter length. Now, there are things called quarter wave antennas, and they're sometimes vertical, and sometimes also, if it's lower frequencies, have to have loading coils. But in effect, it's a quarter wave antenna, but in effect, the ground acts as a phantom quarter wave. So really, it behaves somewhat like a half wave antenna, except the ground is really half of your antenna, and then the vertical quarter wave over that ground is the part that actually radiates or picks up energy.
Yeah, that's why those antennas work so great on a car, quarter wave whip, you know, and at 2 meters, you know, it's very short.
Well, that sounds great, Lou. When we come back, we're going to discuss further ham radio and how people can get involved with local clubs or chapters and how they can learn more. So we'll be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Hello, class. This is Bert Bertonis. I am filling in for Vincent this morning, and we're here with Lou Cassidy talking about amateur radio, otherwise known as ham radio. And Lou, you can't just, if people are interested and say, hey, this is great, you can't just go out and order a radio rig and fire it up and start talking. I mean, well, I guess you can, but you need to get licensed beforehand. So can you describe that process, the classes of license, and how someone would begin the process to apply for, get a license, and, of course, part of that is taking a test to learn radio theory and the rules and regulations. So, Lou, can you go through that process for someone who might be new and interested in getting involved in ham radio?
Sure. And you're right. Ham radio, the amateurs themselves, along with the FCC, polices the ham bands to keep violators off of the bands, keep unlicensed people off of the bands. So what you need to do is to get your FCC license, and then you're allowed on the ham bands. And currently, there are three license classes. No longer necessary is the Morse code. That was a real pain. Those that are into Morse code, that's great, but I never did like it. I always liked sideband. But the three license classes, and I'll read this right out of the ARRL website. It says there are three license classes. the technician class is the entry-level choice for most new ham radio operators. To earn the technician license requires passing one examination totaling 35 questions on radio theory, regulations, and operating practices. This license gives access to all amateur radio bands above 30 megahertz, allowing these licensees the ability to communicate locally and most often within North America. It allows for some limited privilege on HF, this is also called shortwave bands, used for international communications. That's the entry-level HF class, and it's mainly VHF, UHF, 2-meter, and the 440 megahertz bands. The next class up is the general class license, and that grants some operating privileges to all amateur radio bands and all operating modes. This license opens the door to worldwide communications. Earning the general class license requires passing a 35-question examination. General class licensees must also have passed the technician written exam. And now the general class allows you on all the HF bands, all the modes, but you're limited in the frequencies that you can use and sometimes the mode of operation. Now, if you go up to the top class, the amateur extra class license conveys all available U.S. amateur radio operating privileges on all bands and all modes. Earning this license is more difficult. It requires passing a thorough 50-question examination. Extra class licensees must also have passed all previous license class written examinations. And these examinations are out of a question pool. There's 400, 500, 600 questions in a question pool, and you can study that through ARRL books and publications. And also, Gordon West has a radio school, and you can buy books on whatever class. They have a technician class booklet, general class, and an extra class, both Gordon West and the ARRL. They're both excellent. If anybody's looking to get into ham radio, start with the technician class, get the manual, and read through it. And once you it's an easy read. And once you read through it, you can go online and start doing practice tests. It'll take the question pool. And there's so many questions from each section of the question pool. Uh-oh, I hear music again.
Well, we have a few seconds, Lou.
Okay, there's so many questions on the question pool from each section of it, and it'll give you those tests. And when you when you're comfortable running the test, then you can go to a testing site, and we'll get into that in the next segment.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
USA News Update. President Biden and the First Lady arrive in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania this morning. An itinerary was not announced for the day trip. In the past, I-95 has closed down for presidential visits, so that's a possibility today. Expect extra congestion on 95 and the 676. Chicago Mayor-elect, 47-year-old Brandon Johnson, will take office today. Facing a surge of illegal immigrants in need of shelter, Johnson is also facing pressure to build support among skeptical business leaders and summer months that historically bring a spike in violent crime to the Windy City. Spokesman Ronnie Reese said in a statement, Mayor-elect Johnson's top priority remains building a better, stronger, and safer Chicago where all residents can live and work free from the threat of violence. End quote. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated as we get this Monday underway. Lance Pry, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is ShopSuperTea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Watch it. Oh, it's gonna be slight. Today's hot. Watch it. God, you're take my when you go for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Hello, class. This is Bert Bertonis filling in for Vince this morning. I hope everybody has their favorite beverage in front of them for morning drink. And we have with us Lou Cassidy, and we are discussing amateur radio. And Lou, for the purpose of class, we're going to get a tad technical. It's all voice pretty much that we're talking. We're all communicating using voice over ham radio, but there's different types of modulations, and that usually has to do with the different frequency bands. But Lou, in a way that maybe those who aren't overly engineering, technically oriented, can you describe the difference between AM AM, FM, digital modulation, and single sideband, which is related to AM, because those are the four major type modulations that, and by modulation I mean how we convey the voice I'm speaking with, onto a radio carrier.
Right. Well, the of course, ham radio started off early 1900s. Well, Marconi, some of them guys started the whole thing. The ham radio operators took it over, and they started off with Morse code, which is the dits and the das, because it was the only way they had to key a transmitter and communicate at the time. And also the Morse code had been used in the telegraph, so it was a well-known commodity that the ham radio operators picked up on. And then they went to the AM, or amplitude modulation operating mode, when they got the vacuum tubes and actual electronic radios with receivers, amplified receivers and such. They went into the amplitude modulation mode and talked over that for years and years, and experimented with these other modes as time went on. And then they got into single sideband, which is peak. It's wattage rated in PEP, peak envelope power. So what basically sideband suppresses the carrier and only transmits the envelope that is intelligible, and you achieve much greater distances and longer talking with lower power with single sideband mode, which is what most ham operators use today on the HF bands, is the sideband. And then there's the FM modulation that you mentioned, and of course Armstrong invented that way back when, in the 30s. And the FM is frequency modulated. So instead of modulating the amplitude of the waveform, they're modulating the frequency of the carrier. And that frequency modulation gets rid of most of the atmospheric noise, the pops and cracks and static. So FM is a much quieter band, but it requires more power. And it actually travels shorter distances. So the FM, digital modes, hams have been experimenting with digital modes ever since the computer came out. And there are all kinds of sound card interfaces to your ham radio, and you can run, the older FSK, PSK, frequency shift keying, phase shift keying, and actual digital modes, PSK31 and some of the other digital modes that will travel extreme distances with very little power on the HF bands, because the computer is picking the signal out of what you're receiving. You can actually copy signals on PSK31 and some of the digital bands that you can't even hear by the human ear. You can tune them up, and the computer will pick those frequencies out and actually sort of like texting. It's keyboard to keyboard on a lot of that stuff, or you can send files. There's even modes in amateur radio with video. You send live streaming, live TV over some of the UHF, especially bands. There's so many things in amateur radio to get into. I mean, it's hard to just describe all the things there are in a one-hour show.
Yeah, and Lou, some of those digital modulations that you mentioned, we borrowed those and that technology from the cellular industry, because what I see is a lot of the same modulations being used that I've used in designing cell phones and some of the digital devices, and for class, all cell phone communications is now done digitally. Yes, you hear the voice, and you know, coming through your cell phone, but when it goes over the air, all of that modulation is some form of digital, and by that we mean binary, you know, ones and zeros. Although
ones and zeros, yeah,
it gets a little more complex, because in many cases you're breaking the phase up into multiple increments of phase. flu. For the purpose of class, we mentioned AM and FM. One little side benefit of AM is the ability to operate and hear somebody on extremely low signal-to-noise ratios. And that's why, to this day, a lot of the aircraft bands remain AM, which a lot of people think of, you know, kind of primitive, old-fashioned modulation. But they use AM because with just a few dB signal-to-noise ratio, you can hear a guy talking. So if there's somebody in distress or adverse conditions, the AM can get through an intelligible voice, where FM, although it sounds a lot better, it also needs sort of a threshold signal-to-noise ratio in order to get that sounding better.
Right, and an experienced ear can pick those AM signals out of the mud, and actually I can probably communicate with some people that other people that are not hams listening in wouldn't even be able to hear it, you know, and I could communicate with them, you know. So when you train your ear to listen for that sort of thing, you know, and you said extreme distances and sideband is even better. And digital modes are at least as good or better than sideband for extreme distances. So that's why we use all those modes. And you said that the cell phone industry, that the hams borrowed it from the cell phone, and it could be vice versa. Could be the cell phones have borrowed it from the hams, because they've long been the pioneers in all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So Lou, if let's say I'm attending class right now and I'm fascinated by all this, and I want to learn more, I want to take the next step, what resources are there? Who can I go to? Let's say I'm in a little town in Iowa, and I want to learn more. I want to communicate with the world and hams all over the world. How do I take the next step?
Well, your two best friends, number one is the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League. You go on their website, ARRL.org. And you can find anything you want to know about ham radios. Your second best friend is your local radio club. And you can find those through the ARRL. If you go to, I think their licensing and education and training tab, you can go to find something in there about radio clubs. And you put in your zip code, and it will tell you all the ARRL affiliated radio clubs in your area, and you can set the mileage 10 miles, 25, 50 miles from your home location and find a good radio club. And ham radio operators, people in the radio clubs, are overjoyed to have somebody new come in and want to get into ham radio. They will help you do everything. They'll help you find out what you got to do to get your license, the testing. In fact, most radio clubs actually do the testing themselves. They're sanctioned by the ARRL or W5YI or Gordon West to actually do the licensing. And they can take you all the way from walking in off the street to operating VHF, UHF, HF rigs, and talking around the world. I mean, that's your two friends, the ARRL and your local radio club.
Now, if I want to sort of take some practice exams, let's say in my case, I think I know a lot about radio and RF and theory of operation, but I don't know a lot about the rules and regulations, which is also a part of the exam process. Are there resources where I can take a sample exam or see how well I do before I sit down and take the actual 25 or 35 question exam?
Yes. If you just Google in ham radio practice test, a bunch of sites will come up to where you can go, and whatever license you're interested in, technician, general, or extra class, you just go to one of those sites, and most of them require you to to log in. So they want your email address. But once you do that, you can get on there and take a practice test. You tell them you want to take a technician class test. And like I was saying before, it'll pick there's 435 questions in the pool. and so many questions related to each topic, and there'll be one, two, three, four questions from each section of the pool, and this will automatically go out there and pick out random questions out of each section, and you just sit there and take the test in conjunction with reading your book that you got from Gordon West or the ARRL, and when you're comfortable, when you're getting up there, you know, the quiz will tell you if you pass the test or not. And when you can sit there and pass most of the test, then you're ready to take your SCC test. And your local radio club, generally once a month, every club's different, but around once a month, sometimes more often, they will run tests, and which are actually FCC sanctioned, that you pay them I think it's about $35 roughly, to take a test. And you can go in, say you're just learning, go in and take your technician class test. And if you pass that, then you can go to the next test, the general class license test, take that one. And if you happen to pass that one, you can go to the extra class. And if you fail that one, then, hey, you got your technician or general class license, and you've had a look at the amateur test, at the real amateur extra test. So it works out really nice. You go in, pay your money, take your test, go as high as you can. And if you fail, don't be too discouraged. A lot of people fail on the first test. Just, you know, go back in on the bone up, study up, take more practice tests. Go in the next session or whatever you're ready and take it again. You can take it as often as you want. And in fact, when you take your first test, if you fail it and think, well, I get an easier test next time, you can pay another $35 and take another test on that same session. So
what's the passing grade, Lou?
Passing grade is either 70 or 75%. So
okay.
It tells you how many questions you got to.
Okay, we have one more segment. We'll be back shortly with Lou Cassidy talking about ham radio.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
No whining, only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
This is Bert, and I am here with Lou Cassidy this morning talking about ham radio. And Lou, real quick, I want to tell you kind of a fun story about my experience with ham radio equipment. So back in the 1970s, when I was attending high school, I was playing around with AM radio kits. You could, you know, go see on Popular Science how to build one, or you could buy a kit at the Lafayette radio store and transmit 100 milliwatts AM, you know, maybe to your neighbors. And but I wanted to go further. So, Lou, I had many copies of the ARRL handbook, I looked up a construction there for a 1.8 megahertz transmitter. And so one thing I knew is that you can always take technology and go down in frequency. You can't always go up in frequency. So, Lou, I took that plans for how to build a 1.8 megahertz. I think that's one of the lowest ham bands. And I built that transmitter, except I built it for 1 megahertz. And I built an underground AM broadcast station, which I operated in junior and senior year in high school back in the 70s.
That's great.
Yeah, I still have it. It used tubes. You know, back then, transistors were around for sure since, you know, the late 50s, but they just weren't reliable enough for high power. So it was all built with vacuum tubes. And interestingly enough, vacuum tube does behave, especially a triode, much like a modern-day FET, field effect transistor. But, Lou, I still have that transmitter in my closet. I'm afraid to turn it on because, as Vince has talked often, the electrolytic capacitors generally don't hold up over time. Yeah. I'm worried
a little explosion there.
I'm worried if I plug it in without at least replacing some of those electrolytics, even a small one. You know, you might have a small one that's in a power supply, and if that fails, that could lead to, you know, more damage to whatever it is you're trying to resurrect. But
If you have an auto transformer, if you take and plug it into 110 and slowly turn it up,
and get those capacitors, rejuvenated, sometimes that'll work. Just turn the voltage up slowly, and let it sit for a while and turn it up and turn it up. Sometimes they will rejuvenate to the point where they will work.
Interesting. And that's also known as a variac.
Yeah, variac. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I call it an auto transformer, but,
so
one more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing in amateur radio, the emergency survival communications is huge. I've been training with the ham radio operators for 30 years on emergency survival communications. And when something happens, the hams, if systems go down, the hams will jump in. They'll come out of the woodwork, throw a wire over a tree branch, and take a car battery out, and they'll start communicating and fill in the slack. In fact, you probably heard of, in the middle of a hurricane, a ham radio operator will be in the eye of the hurricane and run outside real quick and fire up a generator and transmit conditions and such. So emergency communications is a huge part of ham radio, and that goes all the way from neighborhood watches with these little Bofang handheld radios to HF, to where I can communicate with you and Vinny and Herm. And, of course, I think Andy's a ham, and Greg, we could all communicate together. In fact, we're kind of working on setting that up right now.
Yeah, that's something that's really important, Lou. Thanks for mentioning that in emergencies, it's the hams that come through. And a lot of times police communication goes down because although they have two-way radios, a lot of the police and public service depends on the repeaters up on towers for their network to work. And when those towers go down, then a lot of local responder communications is extremely limited. And whereas hams, although they do have repeaters, generally they're really working point to point, or
they know how to do that sort of thing. Where the a normal cop on the street doesn't know how to take a radio and tune to a simplex channel and communicate. I've actually been stationed with state police, local police, EMS type of things, to where I am the communications link between them. These are practice disasters, and we get out there and they turn the communications over to the hams, and in most cases, they keep it going. If all systems go down.
Well, that's been a fascinating hour talking with you, Lou. And just for a class to know, the first step is get your FCC registration number, an FRN number. It's not a lot of red tape. You just go online, you apply for it. That's your first step. Get that number, and that's the number you'll use when you take your exam.
Yep, you got it.
Well, thanks, Lou. And class, if you are interested, stay with us next hour. We'll be discussing inventions and the U.S. patent process with Andy Gibbs. So thank you,
Bert.
Again. It's been Bert with Lou, and I'll see everybody after the news break.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.